You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 1, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to remind all of you who are listening to me on the air, internet, radio, once my program is off today, you're invited to stay tuned. I'm going to be right back on with an anointed prayer for America. I'll be doing this every time until Election Day, and I want you to agree with me, please. Every Christian in America, you're invited, and I implore you, for your sake, not mine, yours, to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m. to pray for the re-election of President Donald Trump and for America. This is not politics. This is death or life. If the wrong one wins, we will not go to church anymore. They'll take our guns and we'll be slaves. That's the end of it. Okay. Also, you're invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. We have good music before that. One more thing. I want to give a shout out of a happy birthday to a very beautiful lady who has been faithful to God all of her life. She lives in Barnwell, South Carolina. She's my oldest sister. Happy birthday, Myrtle Lee Hare Creech. She's a minister's wife, Pastor Wilbur Creech, a great man of God. He's in heaven now, and she's got wonderful children. Myrtle, happy birthday. And I know that when you stand before God, He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But Myrtle, I, your little sister, say to you, well done, my beloved sister. All right. And now, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. There are two titles to this chapter because it's so long and I can't cover it all in one study. Okay, here's what the Lord gave me from His heart to my heart to your heart. The first part of this is, you have fast power. Amen. You have fast power.
Amen.
Now that's not slow power, that's fast power.
Yeah.
As the curtain comes up on Acts chapter 13, the first church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem is thriving. It's doing great. Jesus is building His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Verse 1. Now, they were in the church, which was in Antioch.
Oh, it grew so much, they had to make a second church. Always understand, a church is not a building, but we are the church, the ecclesia, the saints of God, and we have to be somewhere, okay? So now it's expanding, and now we've got the second church in Antioch. Now, who's in charge of that? Certainly not the apostles. Let's find out.
Certain prophets and teachers.
A prophet is an anointed speaker who teaches the word of God, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. You think it's a person, but it's God.
As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Main, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul.
Now, you remember Saul. We also are going to call him Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament. Barnabas, who just loved God with all his heart, gave away all his possessions, means compassion. So now they are down there getting the church going. Well, what are they doing in the church?
Verse 2. And as they ministered unto the Lord.
Minister means to serve. So you see, when you go to church, you know, in other words, you gather together like we are here. You've come here to serve the Lord. How do you serve Him? He created you for His pleasure. He doesn't want your burnt offerings. He wants your mercy, wants your love. So the way to serve him is to love him. He's the bridegroom and you're the bride. If you love your mate, you will respondez vous si vous plaît. Do you understand?
Amen.
So you're to love him. That's not all you do. You listen to his voice. When you love somebody, you listen to what they say. So you listen to his word. You praise him and you thank him and you play the tambourine and you dance before him.
Amen.
And you just love him with all your heart. But that's not all you do. You might not know this part. Listen. This is your fast, Paul.
And fasted?
Oh, my Lord, they fasted. Now, you say, what? You mean I'm supposed to fast? Well, let's talk about fasting a moment. God is so good to you. He has equipped you. He's given you an arsenal of weapons to get you safely through this life into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He's given you the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, praise, prayer, giving, and fasting. Now, understand that at that time, it was natural to fast. See, we've lost the art of it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, of course you pray, do you not?
Yes.
When you give, of course you give, do you not?
Yes.
When you fast, wait a minute. No, that was the way it was. Jesus said, of course you pray, of course you give, of course you fast. This is the natural order of things for people to do. In other words, this. Now, you say, well, good Lord, what is fasting? Okay, fasting is fasting from food. I do not suggest water, just food. And feasting on the Word of God. Not feasting on your cell phone or watching television. Fasting from food, but you may drink water, and feasting on the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, for what is the benefit of fasting? Notice that Saul will be Paul. He's already fasting. It's a lifestyle, okay? I have this lifestyle. We'll talk about it later. What fasting does for you, it sharpens your sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You might want to write it down. Fasting sharpens your sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Is that important? You better believe it's important. We've already learned. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how do you get led? You fast. It's an automatic thing you do. It's actually the silver bullet in your arsenal. You haven't been pulling out the silver bullet. You just thought you'd pray and give and hear the word. All right. Now, for what do you fast? Well, you fast for the nation. When Jonah preached to Nineveh, he said, God says, Nineveh, if you don't repent, God's going to destroy your whole nation. The king of Nineveh called forth a nationwide fast. Not a mandatory mask, but a mandatory fast.
Yeah, amen.
And the whole nation repented, and they got saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we've got America, God's country here. If the wrong one wins this election, we are doomed. We are in deep trouble. I fast on a regular basis for the United States of America, that this sin be removed, this evil demonic force be removed, and Jesus be our Lord and the Bible the book.
Amen.
So all of you who aren't interested, you're going to be swept away into the slavery. So now is the time. I want to say, boys and girls, if you're of age and you're saved, you are now a grown up to God and you have a responsibility to do your part to get our America saved. Understand?
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not even going to be able to come here. Well, if we do that, he'll kill us. In other words, that this is what's about to happen. So you fast for the nation. Okay, what else do you fast for? You fast for those who are sick, especially evil diseases, but especially cancer. Do not give me any glory, but I fast almost twice a week, not only for America, but for people I love who have cancer. Rush Limbaugh, Dennis Murray of Shepherd's Chapel, Bruce married to Chrissy, Donna, Sherry, and anything else, many of you have come to me, I fast for you. You also fast for people that you want to get saved. You also fast for guidance. So that's how you do that. Now, how long do you fast? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, do I have any takers? No takers, okay. That's a little bit much, but then he was Jesus. Why did Jesus need to fast? He had to create a weakness in himself, okay? So he could show you that you can overcome temptation. Mm-hmm. In the book of Daniel, Daniel fasted 21 days. But Daniel cheated just a little bit. I love Daniel. He did eat things in a pod. He would not eat that old mean, unclean meat. He fasted 20 days from the meat, but he ate vegetables. But see, that doesn't count. A fast means no food. Okay, there's a 14-day fast. Any takers? Not so good, huh? 7 days? 3 days? Okay, I got your solution. God gave me this, and God always honors this fast. All right, I know you're busy. I'm busy too. And we have to take care of ourselves. I want to say this. If you're under a doctor's care, ask your doctor before you do a fast, even if it's going to be a short one. And you don't have to know your body. Pray about it, of course. But it is a silver bullet in your arsenal. It was in the church. You pray every day and you give every time you go to church, but the fasting is on a regular basis, but maybe not, of course, not every day because you'd starve to death. So the Lord gave me this, and I'm going to share it with you. The pastor is supposed to equip the saints. We come here not to just hear the word of God, but go out of that door and do it. Amen. If you've been going to church all your life, you never knew you had to do the word of God. Now, you've met in a strong force here, yeah, because I learned that that's not the church. You got to do the word. So here's how you fast. I call it my 9-hour prayer fast. 9 in biblical numerics is a number of completion. Okay, here's what you do. You know they've got us house arrested anyway. You can't take an airplane and go visit anybody, okay? You got to be careful to wear a mask in Florida. Nobody wants to wear a mask or die, okay? Take one day, or whenever it is, 9 hours. Find yourself a place in your home. Go to your room. Tell your family, I'm going to fast to be with God. Take water. I always suggest water. Do not take your cell phone. You might as well not even try it. I know you're addicted to your cell phone. I know you're going to cheat if you have your cell phone. I love you, but I know that. I can't even have a conversation with anybody. I can't even pray with anybody about pulling out the cell phone. So leave your cell phone out. Don't have a TV or turn it off. Only you and the water and 9 hours. Now, how do you begin? You're going to pray every hour on the hour for that petition for which you're fasting, whatever it is. And you, what I would suggest you do, first of all, write down your petition out clearly. If it's for the nation, if it's for some sickness, if it's for guidance, if you need a new job, whatever it is, write it out. Make it simple. Make it clear. Be honest with God. Now, your first hour, here's what you do. Those of you who come on Wednesday, we have prayer school. We're learning how to pray. And you miss this. But we learned that you always begin your prayer after praise and thanksgiving by reminding God of his word. Because God said in Isaiah 43:26, put me in remembrance of my word. So the first hour, you say, Father, you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. Now, that's one witness, but the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses about a stab. So you got to have another scripture. Father, Jesus said, this kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. Why did I do that one? Because that is demonic. It is a demonic stronghold of Satan that has taken over America. I know it looks like people. Most of those people are demons and devils. And it is demonic. And so this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. Remember Jesus said that about the little boy that had the seizures? Yes. Now, cancer, not in everyone, but many times cancer is demonic. And some kind of certain diseases. That doesn't mean the person's evil, understand, but demons do get people. So all of the people that I'm praying for cancer, I do that. I use that scripture also. So all say, you got the scriptures now? Yeah. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking shall be opened to you. This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Now this is your first hour. Then you say, therefore, Father, I come before you, I fast and I ask, and then read your petition very clearly. Now, don't do anything except read your Bible. If you have a CD of someone who can really teach God's word, that's okay. Do not use a cell phone. You're going to cheat and mess it up. You've got to stay. You're fasting from food. You're feasting on God. And you do that. And then hour two, you do the same thing again. Jesus said, say the scriptures. Therefore, Father, I come to you. I fast and ask. You can do this every hour on the hour. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have found, you might not, at 7, that's God's perfect number, I began to feel a little bit of the Holy Spirit moving on me, like I'm beginning to get an answer. And by 8, I'm just sure I have. Amen. And when the 9 is completion, this time it's different. On number 9, you say, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus said, ask and I receive, seek and I'd find, knock and be open to me. Jesus said, this kind comes out of my prayer and fasting. Father, as you know, I have done a 9-hour food fast, and I am asking. And so, Father, I believe you've heard me. So, therefore, I give you praise, and I give you thanks for answering my petition. And then you thank him for the healing of Donna, the healing of Sherry, the healing of Rush Limbaugh, the healing of Bruce, the healing of Dennis Murray, for the salvation of America, Jesus is Lord, Bible, book, whatever it is. Understand?
Yes.
That's how you do it. That's
Amen.
How you do it,
Amen.
Son. Now, all right, you've heard the word. You know you're not supposed to hear it. You're supposed to go and do it. See, you've been missing that because your God has been in your belly. You've been spoiled. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves. Fasting gets the job done. Every time I have ever fasted, God has honored that fast one way or another. And it's your silver bullet. And now, see, it was in the early church. It's been removed because God's people love their fun and comfort too much.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit said.
Oh, why do they fast? Okay, to hear the Holy Spirit. Remember, the church, they're Paul, Saul, and Barnabas, these people, they minister to the Lord, they fasted. Why? Why did they fast? Now, that's a different thing. They fasted to hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said. Remember I told you one of the benefits is that it sharpens your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
So now they heard the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some of you are Christians all your life. You have never heard the Holy Spirit. Fasting is your silver bullet. Amen. They heard the Holy Spirit. Understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is guide. He guides you into all truth. He tells you how to pray, how to sing, how to go, how to walk, how to talk, how to live. He never leaves you. He's right there.
Amen.
So if you don't hear the Holy Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
So they heard the Holy Spirit. Well, what did the Holy Spirit do? What did he say? Now, all of you here today, somewhere in here, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're serving right, open your heart. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you to do something. Pay attention.
Separate me, Barnabas and Saul.
That's what he said. Out of this group here, I want you to put together Barnabas and Saul. We also call Saul Paul. All right, why is that? God operates in twos. The Bible says two is better than one. If one falls, the other one picks him up. If the other one falls, the other one picks him up. You prop each other up. Jesus sent out his disciples while he was still in the flesh, two by two. Soon and very soon, because the Antichrist is about to come. You do know the peace treaty is in the Bible, that now it's time for the Antichrist. Beware when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. Destruction is the destroyer. So that was the next necessary stage. So just a little bit before he is available, you see him, I'll be aware of him, you're going to have two witnesses. They are going to be speaking, and you're going to be aware of them. Even the two witnesses, God sends them out two by two. This all stems, the people he chooses, like Barnabas and Saul. It started in the world that then was, when we were in our spirit bodies. No reincarnation. No. But there were kindred spirits there. Birds of a feather flock together. And so he sends us out, the kindred spirits here. We have the twin soul. The same overwhelming love for God, dedication, obedience, just completely for God.
Amen.
So God puts them together, and that is such a beautiful thing to do.
Amen.
It's really a spiritual marriage, and don't get upset about that, but that you're supposed to be married to God right now. Mm-hmm. You understand? Yes. So understand that. Mm-hmm. So we've got Barnabas and we've got Saul. Now, seems like they're going to need to fast again. What are they supposed to do? Sometimes you need to fast again. Do you pray just one time?
No.
Do you give just one time?
No.
So you don't fast just one time. I've been fasting a long time for America and for all of these names I called out and a million other things. So we're going to have to fast again. We've got to find out, what does he want Saul and Barnabas to do?
For the work whereunto I have called them.
Oh, they got a work to do. Well, you know they know the word of God. Now, see, the fasting sharpens your sensitivity to the leadership of Holy Spirit. Some of you are wondering, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And you're eating your chicken all the time. Okay, fast, pray, and hear the word of God.
Amen.
Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed,
okay, they prayed some more. In other words, if you read Paul's epistle, Saul's Paul, he says he fasted often. I have learned to live a fast lifestyle. Now, I don't mean that I starve myself, and I don't do it every day because you can't, you got to be healthy. But I've learned to pace myself, and the Holy Spirit will also show you to do that. And fasting is actually good for you. Don't ever fast to lose weight, and don't fast because it's good for you. But you know what? You stuff yourself 7 days a week, your body's working overtime. It needs a day off. Okay, so it's good for you. But so you notice that Saul here fasts again, that he fasts often. When you don't know what to do, fast. God will show you.
And lay their hands on them.
Okay, they fasted again. Why are they fasting this time? Well, okay, you got a work to do. Exactly what is that work? Now, they have to fast this time to find out exactly what is the work.
They sent them away.
That was the work. Holy Spirit revealed it. We want you to be missionaries. This is the first record of anyone being a Christian missionary, Saul and Barnabas. So see, all of that fasting brought all of that together. Look at that.
Amen.
All that confusion you go through, pray and fast and hear the word of God.
Four. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit.
That's what I said. The Holy Spirit sent them forth.
Departed from Cilicia. And from thence they sailed into Cyprus.
Cyprus was Barnabas' hometown. Now, he was Hebrew, the seed of Abraham, but he also spoke Greek, so that the language helped there.
Five. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God.
Of course, they preached the word of God. Now, understand, they're not just going, oh, I think I'll go there. I'll turn right here. I'll turn left. I'll call this. No. The Holy Spirit is very clear in his directions. Say that, do that, go there, give that, don't do that, watch that, straighten that out, understand?
Yes. Yes.
And so he's directing them. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
Especially
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit's leading you. Yes. He is the Lord.
Amen.
In the synagogues.
In the synagogue, see? Now remember, we love our brother Judah. They love God. Many of them, of course, did not yet know that the Messiah Jesus had come. But look at that. All of this fasting is giving Saul and giving Barnabas an opportunity to go into the synagogues to our beloved brother Judah and preach that Jesus has come. And that's what I said. There's no such word as Jew. It has three meanings. It's Iudas in the Greek. It either means our brother Judah, that tribe, which is that's what it means here, or it means a resident of Judea, or it means those who say they're Judah but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Those are the Kenites. So this is the real brother Judah. So they're going to get to hear the gospel. Look at the fasting. Silver bullet.
And they had also John unto their ministry.
Remember the teenager who fell in love with Jesus and gave his life to Jesus? He didn't waste his life on trying to find out what to do with life. He had a calling. He wrote the book of Mark. So he got to be with them. We've got Barnabas, we've got Saul, and we've got John Mark.
Six. When they had gone through the Isle of Patmos.
Patmos means hot and boiling. Look out.
Mm-hmm. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet.
A sorcerer comes from the Greek word pharmacia. It means drug pusher, okay? Mm-hmm. False prophet pretending to be a person of God. Now watch this.
A Kenite.
You notice I just went ahead and said that word Jew? That's the fake one. See, we love our brother Judah. We love our brother Judah. But this is the one who they say they're Judah, but are not. They said they're called the Kenites. By the way, that is, you want to memorize this. You're supposed to share this. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They say they're Judah, but they're not the synagogue of Satan. They're the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain. And Cain is the child of the devil when that old serpent, who was really the devil, beguiled Eve in the garden. So there they are. Now, this is somebody who's hallucinating, giving people drugs, but you see, people can also be drugged by propaganda on the fake news, okay?
Whose name was Bar-Jesus.
Good Lord. He called his name Bar-Jesus. Okay. Bar in the Hebrew, that would be from the Hebrew, means son. He calls himself the son of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Jesus did not marry in the flesh. He had no children. That's not what this man means. What he's doing, he's a fake prophet. He's saying, I'm a man of God. I'm the son of God. I'm speaking for Jesus. Just like the Antichrist is about to appear. Anti doesn't mean against. He means I am. I am Jesus. The Antichrist is going to say he's Christ. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, is going to call him Jesus and worship him. The whole world will call him God because he is saying, I'm Jesus. He'll leave the bar off.
7. Which was with the deputy of the country.
All right, he made friends with the highest ruler of the land, a deputy.
Sergius Paulus, a prudent man.
Now, the deputy was a prudent man. Prudent means wise. Now, the Bible says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with the God. Let's find out how wise he is.
Who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God.
Look at that. Now, that's wisdom. You're not wise unless you hunger and thirst after God, and God is the Word. A little dab won't do you. If you're only satisfied to hear the Word once a week when it's offered you on a silver platter, you're not being very wise. Let's get some wisdom. The Word of God is God's roadmap for you all of this life. It'll keep you from having a train wreck and mess it up. Amen. It'll tell you how to live, what to eat, where to go, what to do, and how to have eternal life. And it'll keep you so many times from making so many horrible mistakes as so many of you under the sound of my voice have already done. Amen. Let's wise up and hear the word of God.
Amen.
Verse 8, but Elymas.
Now, his name is Elymas. That's interesting. You know what Elymas means there. It actually means wise, but it's not the wisdom of God. See, I told you he's phony. He's pretending to be the son of Jesus. He's pretending to be he's a false prophet. He's even saying he's wise. No, that's cunning, sneaky.
The sorcerer, for so was he named by interpretation.
Okay, by interpretation, he called himself wise. See, the Antichrist is going to call himself wise. He's going to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. I got the answers. I can stop all this tumult. I get your jobs back. And he'll say, I can cure the virus. After all, the virus is a demon. And mostly it's a figment of imagination. I mean, there is a virus, but it's overblown. And so he can call it in. Don't you see? Peace, safety, craft to prosper. He's about to appear. Will you know the difference? You've heard the word. You heard Revelation.
Yeah. Withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith.
Now, Elymas does not want the deputy to hear the word of God because Elymas is the son of the devil. He is so filled with the devil that he is doing the devil's command. Every time you decide not to go and hear the word of God, you think you better go clean up your car, better go do your computer, better go out with your friend. Don't feel so good today. That is the devil keeping you from the word of God.
Amen.
And you are the loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
The devil tries to keep people from the word of God. He doesn't say I'm the devil. He says, oh, I'm just so busy. I've got so much to do. After all, I went one time this week.
9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul.
Thank goodness, at last we can call him Paul. Saul's name means desired. Paul's name means small. But he was not small in spirit. He has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's what I said.
Set his eyes on him and said, 10, oh, full of all subtlety and mischief.
Now, remember, Paul has been fasting. And what did I tell you, one of the great benefits? It sharpens your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, is discernment of spirit. Because Paul has been fasting, now it's led him to this point. Here comes a fake one, a symbol of the Antichrist, and Paul discerns that he's full of subtlety and mischief. You know what Paul saw? He saw that the devil had overtaken the sorcerer Elymas. Because back in the garden, that old devil, the serpent, was more subtle than any creature, and is full of mischief. Right now, the political system of the Antichrist, the first beast of Revelation, chapter 13, has taken over and conquered us and made us prisoners in our home and taken away and closed our churches. Many of them are so filled with the devil, they're not even people anymore. But when you fast and your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is sharpened, you know that. You see it on the screen, and now you know how to pray. You not only fast, but you pray.
Yeah, amen.
Thou child of the devil.
Yeah, see, he just called it out. You're the child of the devil. You're not Bar Jesus. You're not the son of Jesus. You're the child of the devil. And say, remember, the Kenites are the children of the devil, literally, because that was a seduction in the garden.
Thou enemy of all righteousness.
Now, your enemy, the devil, goes about seeking whom he may devour. So when a person is filled with your enemy, they are your enemy. Understand that we would love everybody. We wish that everybody would repent and be saved. But when the devil totally overtakes, like our government, or overtakes a person's body with the enemy of cancer, then we do not be kind. We understand that that's the enemy. And so God is an enemy. God is an enemy to our enemies, understand? In other words, we have power over the enemy.
Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord?
Look at Paul. Even then he says, would you like to repent? Wouldn't you like to repent? Obviously, a little time goes by. No repentance. Okay. When no repentance and the evil keeps going, thank God, America, God's going to move.
Hallelujah. 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee.
Look out.
And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.
Now, God is merciful. A season, how long is that? Well, we've got 12 months. We have four seasons. 4 into 12 is 3. It's about 3 months. The 3 is a number of the Trinity. So God did this because this man was so powerful, he was leading everybody astray to worship the devil, so he had to put him out of commission for a moment there. Now, Saul was blind, Paul, 3 days. Now, this Elymas, blindness was put on him because he was going against God. God did not punish Saul. You know why Saul got blind there when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus? Revelation 1, Jesus is as bright. His countenance is as the sun shining in his strength. You go out there and you look straight at that sun, you'll be blind as a bat. Now, does that mean that everyone who's blind is evil? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The disciples brought a man who was handicapped. Blindness is such a handicap. It's probably the hardest one you'll ever find. And so the disciples said, Jesus, this handicapped man, is it because he sinned? Jesus said, no, it's for the glory of God.
Amen.
And then the disciples said, the Tower of Siloam, it fell on 18 people. What kind of sin did they do that God pushed a tower on them? Jesus said, they didn't sin. Stuff happens. The tower fell on. I made up the stuff happened. In other words, stuff happens. Sometimes you can say with Paul, I rejoice in my affliction. Because Pastor Murray used to say, a handicapped person I'm not talking about one that just sits in the corner and lets you wait on them, who's doing more for God than any able-bodied person. Amen. Only God can get the glory. So, to God be the glory.
Amen.
And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand.
This is only temporary. See, God doesn't do that. That isn't God. He's going to let him regain his sight.
12. And when the deputy saw what was done, he believed.
Now look at that. Out of all of that, the deputy got saved.
Amen. I was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord.
The teaching of Jesus from the Word of God. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. 13. Now when Paul and his company were loosed from Paphos.
Now that would be Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, the teenager.
They came to Perga in Amphilia. And John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem.
Okay, young John goes back to Jerusalem. Now, he's going to later on write the book of Mark. Now, Paul actually writes in some of his epistles about John Mark leaving then. So, another story for another time.
14. They departed from Perga. They came to Antioch.
That was where they were first called Christians.
And Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down.
Now, it was a Sabbath, and you know how you say, hey, it's Sabbath, I need to go to church, synagogue, we'll use the word church. Now, did they just say, oh, there's a synagogue, it's a Sabbath, let's go there? No, 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 no. They are being led by the Holy Spirit. Where do I go? Where is the place you want me to be that I can know God to the fullest? That I can be everything God wants me to be. That I can hear the word of God. And I can be led so that they won't let me be lukewarm. They won't let me be baby.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit said, go there. They had good manners. They sat down.
Amen.
Now remember, the priests are going to be the tribe of Judah. Well, Levi really, but it's the Israelites. They're not the Kenites. They are the seed of Abraham, but they've not yet accepted Jesus.
15. And after the reading of the law and prophets.
How did they start the service? The law. Now, those of you who come on Wednesday know that the law is a word Pentateuch. It means five. It's the first five books of the Bible. Probably you could say it with me now. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Y'all did really good. Okay. Now, what's the prophets? Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Hosea, all of those. See, there they did it right way. Paul will say, read this epistle in the churches. Isaiah says, read it line by line. They didn't actually have the book, but they had the papyrus and they had the books, okay. And they would wrap them around. It was called a scroll. And they would do just like we do here. I didn't make this up. This came from the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. They did not have the numbers, but they still went one book at a time straight down. Now, that was called a scroll. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel looked and he saw a scroll flying in the air. The scroll is the word of God flying in the air. In the book of Revelation, which I just taught you, John saw here at the end time right now, a scroll flying through the air. Here at the end time, the word of God flying through the air.
Amen.
We are on the air. The word of God is flying through the air.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them and said, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.
Look at the benefits of fasting. The Holy Spirit has led them every step of the way. This has been some kind of a journey when you go back and think of it all. Now they're in the synagogue, and the people who are in charge, the tribe of Judah there, they had heard that the Messiah had come. They didn't know. They had heard that Paul and Barnabas knew him. They were open to hear. Always be open to know the Lord better. But you're going to have to start with three things. The Word of God, prayer, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that fasting is now given Paul the platform to stand up and do what he's called to do, to declare the word of God. Look at fasting. That's a silver bullet.
16. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience.
Hear the word of the Lord. Look at that. Paul had fast power. America has fast power. You have fast power. Fast power. Okay, got my tongue tangled there. You have fast power. Now, you know, James says you don't want to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. It's in your arsenal. How dedicated are you? How much do you care about your friend with cancer? How much do you care about getting the word of God to all of America? How much do you care about America? How much do you care about that lost soul? Be hearers of the word, doers of the word. Paul had fast power. America has fast power. You have fast power. We'll start right there next time. It's a total new title, and you're going to love it. God bless you. I pray you are blessed. I want to introduce to you now the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. Great word tonight. Great word.
Thank you. It is God's word.
Amen.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and be that everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Matthew 7:7-8.
Fantastic. Praise the word of God. That is so great. I would suggest you memorize that. Thank you, Scott Mercer. That
You're
is
welcome,
beautiful.
Sherry.
We really appreciate you, Scott, sir. You do such a great job.
Great,
we thank you, and we appreciate having you there. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but let's pray for anyone who's not saved. If you'll pray this prayer with me and mean it, God will write your name right now in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all of my sins.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
I repent for all my sins.
I repent for all my sins.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Please fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Please fill me.
Fill me and lead me by
your Holy Spirit.
Teach me how to pray.
Teach me how to pray.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you out there in Ireland, if you prayed that, I invite you to call me because you need to confess. Confession is made to salvation. You won't get me personally, but you'll get my voicemail. I'll get it later. So leave that confession on my telephone. You'll hear that number very soon. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Right now, there's someone you're beginning to lose your hearing. Another, it's really gone. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Put your finger in your ear. I ask, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, open your ear. Epitop. Here. 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 Bless their ears, for they hear. The ears that hear shall hearken. In the mighty name of Jesus, he sent his word and healed your ears. Hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We thank you for that. Now, you know who you are. You might want to call and tell me the miracle, and we'll just pray with you and praise God for that. Now, nothing is given you to keep. Go and tell. Stop talking to people about their little junky stuff and problems. Tell them about Jesus. We are in the last days, people. You don't have any more time. If you want to be a friend, get them saved, for God's sake. Get them saved and get them so that they're ready. The Antichrist is about to appear. I'm not doing this to frighten you. It's good. Look up, because then
Amen.
Jesus comes.
Yep.
Antichrist's time's been short. We learned that in Revelation. So, Amen. You know, and not one hair of your head's harmed unless you're one of the two witnesses. And we're probably not. Okay? So there you have it. So go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you, and I thank you for loving the precious, precious Lord I love, and who has so amazingly touched my life. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Woo!
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
God bless
of Truth.
You. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches, and in every street and corner of America. Let there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that if there are any more traitors around him trying to pull another coup on him, let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the Word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political system of the Antichrist, and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking you to reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. All of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh God, that we are asking you keep us free. We ask that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer. And I know you hear me always, and I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. We thank you. We love you. God save America, and God bless America, and may America bless God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth. God bless you.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
The heavens and you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, oh, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. Oh, if you believe.